Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my main man, Josh Cohen, coming out of Ottawa.
I'm beat up like the Raptors.
Oh, God. I don't want to hear that. It's awful.
The Christmas break took a toll on me.
Oh, jeez. And also calling in from Ottawa, Rajan Walia. Welcome back, man.
New year, new DeMar.
Oh, there's a lot of Raptors talk already, eh? Yo, how nice is that triple-double by DeMar last night? Crickets. All right.
Yeah, I thought Josh was going to just jump in and say, where was that in the playoffs? But you know what? This might be the year where DeMar shows up in the playoffs, if the team makes it, of course.
Yeah, I was gonna say that this is going to be his one W the entire year because they're not making the playoffs. So he can enjoy this while he can. And he can enjoy his playoffs in January. But when it comes to it in April through June, Kawhi's going to be the guy.
Wow. Good rhyme. Good job.
Thank you.
So I've been working on that. Good. Smart man. I'm glad. It's been a while since we've obviously done a podcast, like, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Obviously, we enjoyed our time with our own families during the holidays, and there's a lot to catch up on. I had this whole elaborate plan of going through the past 2 weeks, you know, talking about the Christmas Day games and, like, all the storylines that have passed. But there's no need, because last night's games were absolutely incredible. You had the Raptors absolutely getting spanked within the first, what, 7 minutes of the game? 5 minutes of the game? You had the Nuggets coming back from down 20. And then you had the Rockets coming back from down 20. So the question is, where do we start first?
I think you got to start with James Harden and what he's doing.
Yeah, Harden's a good spot to start on. He's got, what, like 40-plus points in 5 straight games? He's obviously just carrying this team without Chris Paul around. Even when Chris Paul was there, everyone knew that Harden was the guy. And, man, this guy is just crushing it, averaging 33 points a game on the season right now.
Yeah, and he's put up over 400 points in the last 10 games, which is a first since MJ and Kobe. So he's been on an unbelievable tear, obviously. And then last night, just sticking to the Warriors, hitting that game-winning shot, which is pure justice because the play before that, Kevin Durant clearly had his entire being out of bounds with two refs looking at it, and they didn't call it, and Steph Curry hit that mid-range shot to put them up, I believe, by 1 point, and then Harden hit that game-winning three. Yeah. So they deserve it.
They were up two at that point.
No, there you go.
Yeah, so Harden's was the game-winner. But it was like, how do refs not see that? Both of his feet were outside, and he had at least like 3 or 4 paces before he fell down and threw the ball in. Like, how is that not something that you're obviously looking for? Because the ball is right there.
Conspiracy is real. The NBA wants the Warriors to win.
And then Harden got fouled on his three, and obviously no call.
Well, he gets enough calls.
He did not get fouled in that play.
Yeah, what? Yeah. He was undercut so hard.
No,
he wasn't. He stuck his leg out, and he kicked Draymond.
Oh, and he also fell back in case he missed the shot, just to say that he was fouled. He gets enough foul calls, so I'm not going to give him that one.
But
his game itself was crazy, albeit him shooting closer to 40%. But he was like shooting lights out from the three. Like, he's playing at another level, like probably better than he was playing last year at any point. And right now, the Rockets didn't look like they were going to really put it together. They seemed like they were going to have that, like, season where they couldn't figure it out, especially with Chris Paul being injured, lacking
about Chris Paul being injured, by the way.
Nobody except someone we know named Josh, yeah. But we'll let
these guys out of here.
He's soft.
But the Rockets have really turned it around. Like, they look like a team that was probably going to be like fighting for a playoff spot if Chris Paul was going to be injured for the 4 to 8 weeks that he's expected to miss with his hamstring. And now they look like a team that is probably the Rockets of old that might even push for top three seed in the West.
Yeah, I think after losing Chris Paul too, I think most people, including myself, thought they were just going to take a huge plunge in the standings like the Pelicans have without a bunch of their guys, you know, with Payton out and Mirotić. Because the last 11, 12 games, these are the games they've played. At Golden State versus Memphis, at New Orleans versus Boston versus OKC versus San Antonio, who's been extremely hot, at Miami versus Washington versus Utah, at Memphis versus the Lakers. There's a ton of playoff teams in there. And the only loss they've had out of all those games was at Miami of all those games, which is weird. But, you know, going through that stretch, losing your second best player and going 10-1, that's pretty amazing.
Chris Paul is just a detriment to this team.
Clearly Austin Rivers is better, and Doc Rivers is right all this time.
Yo, Austin Rivers was nice last night. Like, not amazing, but he did his job.
Yeah, and he's like the perfect player to input in that system, too. Really? He's a 3-and-D type point guard, and he's actually really good on defense, even though his shot hasn't been great this year. He changed his shot profile this year, only shooting threes and getting to the rim on Washington. He's a more modern type of player now, even though he's still not very good on offense. You know, he takes the right shots, at least, especially in this specific offense.
And this offense does need him to carry it from time to time when Harden gets tired. Right? Like, he can take over one or two possessions out of eight, for example. And that's all they need. I like Austin Rivers on this team. It's actually a really good fit for them.
Yeah, and then also Clint Capella's been a monster the last 10 games too. Ooh. I mean, he put up a 20-20 against the Warriors, obviously, but he's been really consistent too as their second option now. And they don't really have a bench. They've been starting Daniel House at small forward. JaVale Green's like their main guy off the bench, essentially. So they've just been relying all on Harden.
And
he's brought the bacon home, you know?
I actually had no idea what Daniel House looked like until last night. I keep seeing his name pop up in box scores, but I never knew what he looked like until yesterday. And I was like, who the hell is this random guy on Houston? And then I saw the back of his jersey, and that was it.
Yeah, like, speaking about Rivers, I think he was the perfect addition to that team, especially with the second unit if he ends up playing when Harden takes a seat. And Chris Paul comes back. Like, he's a player that actually kind of wants to put the ball up and score and ignite that offense, albeit he's not efficient. And also a team with a bunch of shooters that can shoot the three needs someone to carry the ball, drive, and kick out. And that's what probably Rivers can provide for that team. So great pickup. Who would have thought that Rivers would be more efficient and probably put up more points all season compared to Carmelo, who, what, got like eight games?
Hey, relax.
With Houston.
Relax. But
it just shows you fit matters more than the actual player's talent in today's NBA.
When do you guys think that the media is going to bring up the fact that Carmelo Anthony is not on the team? It seems like it's been really quiet the last month and a half.
I think he's still on their roster, though, isn't he? I don't think they bought him out yet.
No, he is, but nobody's really brought up the point that he's not really playing, you know?
He's old news, like, man. It's over. Content.
But at what point of the year do you think people are going to start bringing it up? Like, around the trade deadline?
Yeah, once they're going to, like, try to get rid of his contract. Use him as a trade piece.
He's going to China. Anyways, let's move on to another player that's been on fire recently.
Jesus Christ. You're actually the worst.
The Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray. Oh, my goodness. That guy's a flamethrower.
Yeah, so yesterday against the Kings, he had 2 points in the first half. What did he end up with? 34. How the hell did that happen? This guy just came out of halftime and just could not miss. Every three, every layup, every floater, every mid-range jumper, he was just hitting everything he took.
Yeah, and, you know, the Kings have been a super exciting team to watch, and they play at a super high pace, which definitely helps, but I thought, you know, once Harris and Millsap came back, Murray would come back down to earth just, you know, with not having the same usage rate. But, you know, in the second half, he just, you know, they were down, I think, 15 points or so at the half. They were down 20, I think, in the second quarter. And, yeah, he just came out and he just could not miss, like you said. And Denver really, they played really well on defense last night. They're really physical, which is something that you wouldn't expect out of a team that's expected to be more of a finesse team. But now that Millsap's back, they just have an edge to them too. And, you know, having so much talent on this roster, I mean, like, Torrey Craig is a starting small forward for them right now, and he's probably not going to play once they get everyone back. So it's been a crazy ride for them all season with injuries, but they're still in first place in the West, and they're really, really good.
Yeah, they have go ahead.
Yeah, and also just with the Nuggets, like, they needed that perimeter scoring. I think maybe the one knock on them as a team as a whole is getting consistent perimeter scoring. And the way that Murray's playing, he's gaining confidence while a lot of other players are out. And that's going to only help them down the stretch. And looking at the teams in the West, there's a lot of good teams, but consistency is going to be the key. And Denver's kind of playing in a style that reminds me a lot of, like, in terms of hard to beat and don't want to see them in the playoffs, kind of like Utah. I know they play completely different style, but I don't think any other team in the West wants to play Denver just with the way they play and the pieces they have and their depth.
Hold up. Don't compare Utah and Denver right now. Utah is an absolute mess compared to this team. Even though you don't want to see them, quote unquote, see them in the playoffs. I wouldn't mind seeing Utah in the playoffs right now.
Utah last year.
Yeah, Utah last year. Okay, I think it's a comparison.
Yeah, that's much better. Denver is incredible right now. I mean, Josh, you brought up Torrey Craig, Malik Beasley. They have a bunch of 3-and-D guys who are just good at their job. They're young, they're athletic. They run the floor whenever there's an opportunity. And Jokic being not only a great rebounder, but a great passer, man, he gets those outlet passes instantly. And it's perfect. These guys have so many open looks at the rim just because of that.
Yeah, I think the biggest change with them this year is that they changed their defensive philosophy. Last year, they were dropping back their big guys, just sort of like, you know, Philadelphia does with Embiid or Toronto does with Valanciunas, and just allowing more shots in, like, the mid-range or at the rim and having these guys contest it, whereas now they're having Jokic and Millsap, like, really pressure the ball and hard hedge. And I think that's really gotten, you know, Jokic's energy up, and he's playing better defense just because he's more in tune with what they're doing, I think. And I think when you're forced to play defense like that in every single possession, and you know you have to, you know, bust your ass to do it, I think it just gets your energy up. And you know, in that case, it's a lot. I think it like goes in their system to where, you know, the teams that are playing against them have a much harder time playing in the fourth quarter because they've had to move the ball so much and have to expend so much more energy just moving the ball against Denver, whereas last team, they could take whatever shot they wanted.
Yeah. They're also a really deep team, which helps in terms of just, like, running teams out of the floor, out of the game.
Like, I'd say they're the deepest team in the NBA.
They're definitely up there, for sure, along with, like, Dallas. You obviously have Boston as well. But this team just, like, as soon as halftime comes around, the third quarter is completely different from what they've ever been before. In past years, it's always a strong first half, and then they sort of just, like, teeter off, and then the fourth is always really shaky. This year, they're, like, one of the best second half teams in the league. You know what I mean? They come out of halftime, and, like, everyone's still fresh. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's a sign of a great team, too, because most of the dominant teams of the past, you know, 20 years are teams that come out in the third quarter and just destroy teams. Because most teams are not ready out of halftime.
Yeah.
So
Golden State,
and they've shown
that
propensity to do that. So
yeah, Golden State was really good at that, like, the last few years. Especially going into half with either down or, like, close to being tied. You always want those kind of teams who just, like, turn it on like that once the third quarter turns around.
Yeah, that was the easiest bet in the NBA the last 3 years, is betting Golden State line in the third quarter.
Yeah. I started doing that with Denver in the third quarter this year. It's not bad.
It's working out.
Yeah.
You're a rich man now. That's how you're able to afford this podcast.
A whole $4 in my pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really want to talk about San Antonio, Toronto?
I think you have to talk more. No, I think you have to talk with the Raptors. And, like, again, you keep hearing that's the team to beat in the East. And I think they have the pieces. I just think that consistently in big pressure situations, they've kind of shown the Raptors of the playoffs of the last 4 or 5 years have shown up to play in these regular season games, I understand. But I worry for this team. I think that the role players aren't doing their roles good enough. And especially when they're given an opportunity to take up a bit more of the slack, especially since JV and Kyle Lowry have been out. But they really haven't. And that kind of worries me. I think you're going to lose a lot of confidence for these players. And at the end of the day, I personally think that Milwaukee is probably going to be higher up in terms of teams that are going to be contending for the East title instead of the Raps at current form.
Nah, disagree. This whole stretch, they've been without two of their top seven players, and obviously the second best player with Kyle Lowry. And I think some good has come out of the stretch. I mean, like you said, there are some players that haven't really stepped up. Obviously, CJ Miles has been absolute garbage the entire year. DeLon Wright has been up and down. Fred VanVleet is obviously the starting point guard now, and he hasn't really played well against starting units for the most part, except against the bad teams. But one guy I think that has emerged out of all this is Norman Powell. He's played really well the entire season. In the last stretch of five or six games, he shot the ball really well. He's played really good defense, and he's earning more minutes. And they need a guy to come off the bench to give them points, and he's really stepped into that role. And if he's the guy to replace CJ and, you know, be able to play 15 minutes off the bench in the playoffs, because once the playoffs come around, let's just be honest. I mean, Toronto has one of the best top 7 to 8 rotations in the league. And those guys can be getting the majority of the minutes. You're going to see the starters get, 35-plus minutes a game. So you're not going to have to worry as much about, CJ Miles, DeLon Wright, Fred VanVleet not playing well, because then you just put Kyle Lowry back in the game. So the stretch doesn't really worry me at all. I mean, they're playing without Kyle Lowry, who's the guy who really got Serge Ibaka going especially, and he's looked like he's been playing in quicksand the last couple of games too.
Yeah, but could you also make the argument that Kyle Lowry hasn't had the best playoffs in the last, 3-4 years? And if that trend continues,
that's a myth. I mean, before last year, yes, but when they actually rested Kyle Lowry last year, which they did a really good job of, which are doing this year again, he played really well in the playoffs last year.
All I'm saying is that team right now, for a team that's supposed to be contending with the East, I know Boston's had a very slow start to the season, but we're looking at the Raps that probably lack perimeter shooting. I think their second unit hasn't been as explosive as it was last year, maybe because of, we talked about this before, with Siakam kind of starting with the starting five now, and they're really missing that drive and penetration inside on the second unit. But I personally think the Raptors, unless they make some moves, I really think that some of the weaknesses that they have in this team are really showing themselves. And there's some teams in the East that have been playing consistently better, and I think their role players are doing a better job in their respective roles.
I think with Toronto, the only glaring weakness that they have is a three-point shooting, because when they've played elite teams, they've left their secondary guys open. Like, I go back to the Denver game in Denver, where Toronto was up in the third quarter, and then Denver decided not to guard anybody in the fourth quarter, and Toronto went 1-for-12 from three. OG missed like five straight threes when he was wide, wide open. So I think that's their glaring weakness right now, but I think they're fine. They're still first in the East right now, tied with Milwaukee, and Milwaukee hasn't had any injuries the entire season. And I think that the style that Milwaukee's playing is easier to guard in the playoffs. And I think that our defensive unit is better than theirs. I mean, when you get, especially Siakam at the five with OG, Kawhi, Danny Green, and then Kyle Lowry, if they need to go to that lineup, if they play Giannis at center, for example, in a series, I think that we're better than them. And if you took, say Malcolm Brogdon and, any one of their bench players that's played well throughout the course of the season off their team right now, they wouldn't be in first place. So I think it's just a matter of the regular season. It's January. Raptors are still in first place. They're fine. But I think they're still like one trade away or one player away, like a shooter that can come off the bench and, just provide spacing to Kawhi and Kyle that they're missing right now.
What kind of player would you want? Like, I know you want a solid 3-and-D guy, but who do you think is actually on the market in that sense?
Give me Wayne Ellington right now. I mean, he's not even playing for Miami, and Miami has five shooting guards on the team. And he's on a one-year contract. This is his last year in his deal. And he was an absolutely, spectacular flamethrower the last 2 years before this year. He's had some injury this year, obviously, but he's a really good shooter off the bench. A guy like Anthony Tolliver, who's not playing in Minnesota, he's a really good shooter as well, good team guy. There's some guys out there.
Tolliver would be so good on the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are not going to play that many minutes in the playoffs, but they're a guy that can change a game or two just based on their shooting or just provide more spacing out there. Because if you're comparing a guy like DeLon Wright to Wayne Ellington in a playoff series where DeLon's not going to handle the ball as much, is he really a positive factor just playing on the wing and guys really not guarding him and just playing off him? Probably not. So I think you have to upgrade that position, which was why I was hoping to get Korver before he got traded, but unfortunately he went to Utah.
Trade for him again. Just go get him.
I mean, if Utah keeps struggling, maybe they just, you know, burn the house down.
Go get Jay Crowder.
Trade everyone.
Bring Jay Crowder back to the East.
Nah, Jay Crowder doesn't play well under pressure. We saw that with Cleveland.
Cleveland?
He was garbage on Cleveland.
Yo, come on, man. Nobody plays well with LeBron unless you fit into your role instantly.
Well, he's the guy that's supposed to be a catch-and-shoot player, which should fit right in with LeBron, right? And he just didn't play well at all.
Yeah, his mother had also just passed, like, a month before training camp started. I'm going to give him a pass.
I guess.
He's playing really well this year. Like, obviously he's not amazing, but he still has his spurts. He's still a consistent shooter. I'm okay with Jay Crowder now.
Yeah, he's been a solid sixth man off the bench for them. And speaking of which, shall we move on to awards?
Yeah, yes we can. So how far into the season are we right now? Let's say around 35, 36 games in. We've got an idea of what every team is, what every team looks like, who's strong, who's not, who's actually got a good bench, who doesn't. So we can maybe dabble into some awards. Let's start with the top award, because we all know we want to talk about it first. MVP voting. Who do you guys have? Raj, why don't you start?
I'm going to have to say Giannis. I know that Harden's had a crazy stretch of the last maybe 8 to 10 games since Paul's been injured. But over the whole season, I think Giannis has been playing exceptionally well. I think he's really turned it up a notch from last year. The new offense has really helped Milwaukee, and they're obviously one of the teams in the East with probably what I think the second best record, highest winning percentage in the NBA. And I think he's done it on both ends of the floor. And he's really made Milwaukee a team that was kind of in disarray into a contender in the East. That's what I think, at least. So I would have to give it to him, but a close second would have to be Harden with the way he's been playing. And if he continues, it might change.
Yeah, the same top two, too. I didn't really have Harden in discussion up until the last 10 games, obviously, but he's, you know, jolted himself into that conversation with how he's been playing. He's on like an Iverson type of run, you know, back in 2001, where he's just scoring and doing everything for the team. And they just have a bunch of tough guys around him that are just, you know, playing defense and playing into their roles. So Giannis is definitely number one right now. Still, Harden's on his heels. And I think beyond that, I have Jokic at number three.
You have Harden on his heels?
Harden's getting up there right now. I mean,
yo,
they're fourth in the West right now.
On.
He's had an unbelievable stretch, man. Like, if he continues this in the next, like, 10, 15 games, and they continue to win games, you know, it's going to be hard not to give him the MVP.
You think he's going to carry this on?
I don't think he's going to carry this on, because it's pretty hard to maintain this type of pace. I mean, I think this is going to be a problem come playoff time. If, you know, once they make the playoffs, if Harden has this many miles on him, he's shown that come second round especially, he just tires out and he's not able to do it anymore. So this is definitely a bad thing for Houston come April, but for right now, you know, it's fun to watch.
Well, we don't really count the playoffs for MVP voting, right? So that's irrelevant to the conversation. But
true.
I still can't believe that you would have him second. I would have Jokic in there before Harden. Maybe even Paul George, to be honest. Like, if you're looking at the whole season, you want the consistency throughout. Harden for the first 10, 15 games was pretty much a wash.
He was injured for part of that stretch. And remember, this Houston team without Harden wouldn't be anywhere close to the playoffs, even with a healthy Chris Paul. And he's been putting up, like, crazy numbers. And I know this year the NBA has been putting up crazy numbers as a whole, but if you're looking at just Harden in the last 15 games, which I know is still what, half, maybe a third of the season thus far, he's been putting up numbers that are astronomical. And as Josh mentioned, if he puts this up for another 15 games, that's looking at more than half the season of him playing like head and heels above everyone else.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I hate James Harden. I hate watching him play. I hate the fact that in the season where Westbrook won the MVP, I lost a bunch of money betting on him. So I'm not a fan of James Harden. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, this stretch, I think, you know, has catapulted him in the second spot, the hot behind Giannis.
I think we're dealing with a lot of recency bias. He's riding a really hot streak. I'm not going to deny that. He's been incredible. This is like 06 Kobe hot. But there's no way this lasts. I just don't see it happening. There's no way he keeps this up because he always fatigues.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and again, I think the injury concern is there too. I think that if he continues this and he has to shoulder this much of the load, I think come February or March, he might just, you know, be out 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. It's only a matter of time before he catches up to you, right? So, yeah. I think one guy we haven't really talked about, though, is Embiid. Embiid's been amazing this year, and he's really fallen under the radar, I think, overall in this discussion.
I can't believe you just, like, looked right over Nikola Jokic. But, you know, whatever.
Jokic is my third guy, man. I love watching Jokic.
So disrespectful. But... you're just like, oh, yeah, maybe Jokic in third place. But back to Harden. Let me suck him off some more. Get out of here. So disrespectful.
All right, no more James Harden talk on this podcast.
I think we're going to go back to Jokic, and I think this is probably why he doesn't get as much consideration, is because Denver is a very deep team, and there's a lot of players on that team that have stepped it up. And I know there's been a lot of players on Denver that have been injured, but if we're just looking at Denver as a team, if they took out Jokic, they still have enough pieces probably to push for a playoff spot. Whereas in a lot of these other teams with their most valuable player candidates would not be anywhere close to where they are. So I think Jokic is really suffering from a fact that he plays on a very complete team. He's clearly the best player, but there have been other players that have stepped it up, partly because Jokic has been attracting double teams. He's an amazing passer.
No, definitely.
But they have a better and deeper team. So it's harder to really identify how good or bad Denver would be without him. Whereas I don't think the Rockets would be anywhere close. I don't think the Bucks would be anywhere as good as they are now. The Sixers aren't very good because no one can really carry that team. I know Ben Simmons has been putting up astronomical numbers, but Embiid gets 50% of the touches and has been playing extremely well. And I think that's why they get a bit more consideration than Jokic. But he's definitely a top three or four candidate thus far for the MVP. I just don't think he's going to get as many votes because he plays on a good team.
Can we talk about the machismo of Nikola Jokic coming into the season that fat and still saying, I'm going to bust the NBA's ass despite being like, looks like he's like 350 pounds. He's carrying a lot of weight. He has to be a top five confidence guy in the NBA to come in looking like that and still bust everyone's ass.
Yeah. And it just makes no sense that you would put other guys that far ahead of him. Harden running.
He's probably in the locker room at halftime eating cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? These guys can't guard me anyway.
That's the fuel he needs for the second half. That's fine. Let him eat whatever he wants. He's going to keep playing like this. He's actually playing defense this year, playing it well. He's obviously leading the team up for assists and rebounds. I think he's also the point leader. I'm not positive. Let me check this. No, he's not the point leader. He's the steals, rebounds, and assists leader on this team. On the number one team in the West. And he's getting like, maybe he's third. Maybe fourth, I just heard from Raj. Man, y'all bugging.
Just amazes me how out of shape he is. Despite, like, this year, he's obviously, like you said, playing a lot more defense. He's a lot more active on defense. He's probably running a lot more every game. And yet he's still fatter somehow than last year. It's just quite impressive to me.
No, he's definitely not fatter.
I don't know about that.
He lost weight, man.
There's a reason why he ain't tucking in that jersey, bro.
Yeah, nobody likes to play with a tucked-in jersey, all right? Come on. Let's chill. Not everyone can be so dapper like Chris Paul, okay?
Nikola Jokic is wearing that XXXXL jersey right now.
So he's stuck in the mid-2000s. I'm okay with that. As long as he keeps playing like this, I'm good.
He might get to Oliver Miller level soon.
This is just getting absurd now, man. Let's move on. Let's go to Defensive Player of the Year, because you're just so disrespectful. Come on. Who do you guys have? I have Embiid for this one.
Nikola Jokic.
Good man. Finally some respect. Yeah, I'm taking Embiid. He's been incredible. Like you said, he's probably top four, top five for MVP voting. His defense has been incredible this year. He's mobile. He's protecting the rim. He's doing it all for this team. He's actually playing in back-to-backs, unlike some players that we know.
I think that's the second most amazing thing this year, besides Nikola Jokic playing at 350 pounds, is Embiid being able to play on back-to-backs and playing 35 minutes a game and not getting injured.
You know, he's ready. He's actually healthy. And then when he's unhealthy, they sit him for a game and to call it rest.
Yeah, his on-off numbers are crazy, too. When he's on the court, the defensive rating is amazing. It's on, like, OKC levels, obviously. And then with him off the court, they're just awful. But honestly, I think as of right now, I would put Paul George as my number one guy because OKC has consistently had the top defense in the NBA, and he's really, really played well on the defensive end. He's putting in so much effort on offense that the fact that he has enough energy to lock these guys down on the perimeter and be their shutdown guy, which he wasn't really the last couple of years with Roberson taking that role and allowing Paul George to rest more on defense. But he's had a propensity in the second half of the year to slow down and have those dead legs, especially come March and April. So they're going to really have to monitor his overall level and how much energy he's expending every game. They might just want to give him a couple games off come, you know, March and April.
Well, he is carrying this OKC team.
Yeah, and offense especially, because Westbrook has not been that great on offense this year. But I think second behind George would be Miles Turner for me. He's taken a big step, especially the last 20, 25 games. He's been an unbelievable shot blocker. And I think Indiana allows the least amount of points in the paint overall, and he's probably the biggest factor in that.
Don't forget about my boy Thaddeus Young, though.
good plug.
I think I would have to go with Paul George, and then close behind him would be Joel Embiid. I think it really comes down to who has a more consistent second half. Like, both players are playing exceptionally well, and Paul George has all the tools to be one of the elite defenders in the NBA, and he clearly has been showing it this far. And he's also doing it on both ends of the floor, which is even more incredible. And I think Joel Embiid, depending on how much he sits in the second half, if he picks up an injury, and that team does look quite different with Jimmy Butler for roughly half the regular season thus far. So right now I'm going to give the edge to Paul George, but I think Joel Embiid comes a close second.
So who's your third guy?
I would probably say Kawhi would be in the conversation, but he doesn't play enough back to backs to really, warrant the same consideration as Paul George and Joel Embiid.
I think he will starting now, though. He's got the big back-to-back this weekend against Indiana and Milwaukee, so I think that's going to be his first back-to-back that he actually plays in both games. He's going to have to, too, if Lowry doesn't play.
Is he projected to play? Him sitting or anything?
No, Nick Nurse said that starting in the new year, they're probably going to start playing him in back-to-backs, so I would guess this is going to be the first one because they have to win at least one of those games.
Finally.
I think my third guy, though, is Marcus Smart, because once they put him in the starting lineup, Boston's defense totally changed, and their offensive rating obviously went way up, too. He's like the perfect glue guy for that team, and I think on any other team, he'd be what he probably is to most teams, which is absolute garbage, because he's a terrible offensive player. But for some reason, chemistry-wise, he just fits with that team.
Even when you're complimenting him, you can't just do it normally, you know? You always got to throw some shade at the guy.
I have to throw shade at everyone. That's just who I am.
So unnecessary, man. Just let the guy be good at defense and let that be it. Nobody needs to know that he's an awful shooter.
Guy's shooting like 25% from the field. I mean, come on. Also, on the defensive player of the year note, it's so funny how like Draymond came into the year saying that he's going to be the guy again. He's going to get the award. Nobody's going to be stopping him, and he's had an absolute terrible year. So, fuck Draymond.
Okay. All right, sure.
I'm tired of him.
Yeah, Draymond's, he's trying to learn from LeBron in terms of swaying media. He's not very good at it because he's not as good as LeBron on the court. But remember when LeBron talk about wanted to be DPOY?
We'll talk about a LeBron quote next podcast, too.
Man, that guy. Talk about grinding my gears. Jesus. All right, what do we got next? Rookie of the Year. I think it's pretty obvious.
El Matador.
Is that what we're going to call him?
I don't like that nickname. I don't get why the Dallas guys are pushing that so much. He had a much better nickname coming into the draft, which is Wonder Kid.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not better.
That is way better.
No, they're both garbage.
Yeah, they haven't.
I'd rather call him Mom's All Right. You know, like, come on.
Mom's decent. Mom's decent. Mom's decent.
MD. Luka Doncic, MD.
Mom's decent.
It's kind of obvious, right? Like, there's no other competition for this.
He's already won the award. They might as well have the ceremony for that right now.
Yeah, hopefully his mom shows up, though, too.
Yo, imagine if they did a victory tour during the season for him.
Yeah, just like some of the other guys have had their laps. I mean, the whole Dwayne Wade thing this year, can we talk about that for a second?
Let's talk about after it later. The game, no. Let's talk about player. It later.
Okay. All right, let's move on. So besides Doncic, who's your second guy right now?
I don't even know. Monte Morris.
Been a lot of good rookies this year, though.
Monte
so
Morris.
I think the second guy's pretty obvious, though.
Monte Morris. Yeah.
He's not a rookie.
I only said his name like 6 times. It's cool.
And I believe he's a sophomore.
No, he didn't play last year. He was a G League guy last year.
No, he played some minutes last year. He qualified as a rookie last year.
No, get out of here. Let me look this up. You guys talk.
No. Forget this. Forget the Monte Morris talk. We're not going to give him the Ben Simmons. So the second guy is clearly DeAndre Ayton right now. I think about a month ago it would have been Jaren Jackson. But the last month since Trevor Ariza got traded, it just seemed to, boost DeAndre Ayton's game somehow. He's getting a lot more touches, and he's playing better on defense, too. So, and he's putting up numbers. Like, he's putting up 20-10s the last, 20 or so games. And although Jaren Jackson Jr. has probably been more impactful to winning, I think DeAndre Ayton's he's been unbelievable the last month.
What about your boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
He's fallen off, unfortunately.
Well, the team has fallen off. Not just him.
I think a lot of the players on that team has really fallen off. The law of averages has really caught up to them.
Yeah, who would have thought that Tobias Harris wasn't like a top 5 player in the league?
Or Danilo Gallinari wasn't a top 5 player.
I'd also have to add the caveat that they were missing Lou Williams for large stretches of the last month. So now that he's back, he clearly is a big part of their offense. So I don't think we're right to write the Clippers off so early. That just came out weird.
I'm writing them off. Lou Williams is small. DeMar, he doesn't show up in the playoffs. Forget that guy.
Yeah, no, I wrote off the Clippers at the beginning of the year, and I will continue to write them off. Sorry, man. Are we going to give any love to Trae Young? I don't want to, but if you guys want to love the guy a bit.
Pass.
Like 12% from the field, has no hairline, but makes some nice passes. I'm actually going to see him next week when they're in Toronto.
Nice. Yeah, it seems like his passing is way ahead of his shooting. I think he's shooting like 28% from the three. But his passing has been pretty good this year. So he's had a good rookie year. It's just, this rookie class is really, really good. So I don't think he's in the top 3, though.
I just looked up rookie of the year betting odds, like currently. Oh, wait, no, sorry. From December 21st, Luka is -700 to win the award. DeAndre Ayton the second at +650. So it's kind of obvious. Pick DeAndre Ayton. Get your money's worth.
The only way he's winning that award is if Luka gets injured, so knock on wood, that won't happen. Let's move on to the award that probably has the most discussion behind it. So I think the Sixth Man of the Year award is the toughest one to call right now. But who would you have number one?
Let me see. Who would I even think of? You had like D. Rose.
I don't think D. Rose qualifies anymore, though, because he started in 2 games.
No, I think it's like Lou Williams starting half the games last year. I think they still qualify.
We gotta find out how they actually rank that and how they determine like how many games is too many starts order to qualify as a sixth man.
I think it's just X number of games. It's coming off the bench, I mean. I don't know, who else is in the conversation? Brogdon?
I think there's 2 guys ahead of him. I think that, who'd you say, sorry?
Brogdon?
No, Brogdon's starting.
What?
He's been the starting shooting guard the entire year.
I thought that was... they took off Snell. Yeah, that guy sucks. Okay, sorry. Continue.
I think the top 2 guys, because Rose has started too many games, is Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers and Spencer Dinwiddie. He's been absolutely on fire last month.
He's been incredible.
He's putting up 30-point games off the bench, and then Montrezl Harrell is putting up 20-10s for a month. in November, I believe. So he's been unbelievable as well.
I think
the biggest reason, too, that the Clippers were actually good.
I would say that also on the Clippers, I know we talked about him earlier, I think Lou Williams is in the running for his infinite six-man award. Without his 20 points a game, the Clippers are nowhere as good as they are on in terms of their standings.
Yeah,
I think Montrezl Harrell has had a bigger impact, though, on winning with that team.
I think Trez is a more important player, but Lou Williams is in the conversation. Also, shouts to J.J. Barea for carrying this Dallas bench.
Yeah, he's a guy that's fourth on my list. He's been unreal. Single their bench has been best bench in the NBA up until about 2 weeks ago, where they sort of fell off a little bit. But he's obviously the leader of that bench crew. And I think Bogdan Bogdanovic is a guy that's not really talked about at all, but he's also had an incredible year for Sacramento. He's been a big reason why they've been winning these games in the fourth quarter. Where they're basically like the cardiac kings, essentially, right? They give up these 15-point leads. And then all of a sudden they start storming back with these crazy runs with him and Buddy Hield just going off in the three-point line. So he's a really good player. He's not talked about enough.
Buddy Hield turning into a good three-point shooter is hilarious this year. That storyline came out of nowhere. I was not expecting that at all.
You mean a good player overall? Because he was a good three-point shooter last year.
Yeah, I guess. Fine. A good player, sure. Fine. I'll give you that.
I also just want to give a quick mention to Sabonis. I think he's often overlooked as a sixth man because down the stretch he's really playing with the starting five. But him coming off the bench and providing that offensive spark for the Pacers, I think is a big reason why they're one of the top four or five teams in the East. And if he continues, I think he'll be in the conversation along with names we've mentioned, Lou Williams, Dinwiddie. Another player we didn't talk about who probably would still be considered a sixth man is Julius Randle, although he's been starting since Mirotić has been out. The first like 20 games of the season, he was hands down the sixth man of the year. But he's definitely, his production slowed down now that he's moved up to the starting lineup.
Also Terrence Ross. Remember when Terrence Ross got hot for those like 3 weeks?
Relax.
Who else going to throw out that got hot?
You know what's funny? The Raptors fans that I see online, they're always talking about like, yeah, we need another shoot. Let's get Terrence Ross.
Oh my God.
Back in the mix. And they totally forget how he performed in the playoffs. He was absolute garbage. He's the last guy you want to rely on for a big shot or like a guy that you can count on to hit some threes in crunch time. Like, come on.
No, Terrence Ross had a 50-point game as a Raptor. Show some respect.
He also had a bunch of 0-point games too.
There. All right, what's next? You want to do Coach of the Year?
I think it's far and away Budenholzer.
Yeah, combo ended.
Yeah. Good. Good conversation about Coach of the Year, guys.
I think you have to give credit, though, to McMillan. You know, Coach Malone, obviously, in Denver. And then Doc Rivers has done a really good job with the Clippers. But we don't talk, you know. We're not going to, you know.
We don't talk Doc.
Anything good, any positive reinforcement on Doc Rivers' name. So
Doc. That's pretty funny.
No docs allowed in this podcast.
All right. We're going to introduce a new segment to the show. It's called Grinds My Gears, where basically we each vent about one thing, or multiple things, depending how it goes, about what grinds our gears. And Josh, I want to know what you have to start with.
And we copy the segment from Family Guy, so...
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm talking about Marcus Morris Sr. The fact that he changed his name, and he must have gone to his agent, and the agent must have talked to the Boston Celtics organization to tell every single person, not only the color commentator and the play-by-play guy, but the PA announcer, to say his name as Marcus Morris Sr. ever since he had a kid. There's been multiple NBA players that have had kids throughout the year. You're not seeing Dwayne Wade call himself Dwayne Wade Sr. and forcing every single person in the organization to come up to him and call him that.
Is this kid named Dwayne Wade?
He probably has like a janitor in like the Boston Celtics organization go up to him and say, oh, you call me Marcus Morris? It's actually Marcus Morris Sr. You're fired. You know, this is unacceptable to me. I don't understand how one guy has this much power when he's a good player, but he's not Kyrie Irving. What is going on here?
Yo, shouts to him for being a solid six man, though.
Oh, he's starting now.
Well, now he is, but throughout most of the year, he was a six man, and he's been really good.
And he was putting up good numbers for fantasy as well.
He still doesn't have the clout to force the entire organization to add the senior to his name, especially the play-by-play guy.
Boston is all about family and respecting their players. You should know this by now.
Yeah, this is unacceptable to me. I just don't get it. Are we going to call every single player senior after they have? Like, come on. Kawhi Leonard senior? That doesn't work. Come on.
You know what? LeBron James senior should be a thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, if your kid comes into the league, then yes, you can call yourself senior because it makes sense in that case. But this, I get you're a proud dad and everything, but just changing your name like that, it's unacceptable.
What if it's legally changed, though? What if he actually changed his name to Marcus Morris Sr.?
Okay, if he went to the courts as well and got that changed, like, that's next level. Come on, man.
Yeah, and this way you won't get him confused with his twin brother, Markeef. It's perfect.
Markeef Morris Jr.
Oh, so we got to talk about how both Morrises got injured on the exact same day.
Relax. Chill out.
Was actually a neck injury, too. It probably happened the exact same time at like 9:37 p.m. That's pretty unbelievable. Twin thing is real.
Chill out. Stop hating on the Morai.
A neck injury on the exact same day. Probably at the exact same time. That's pretty unbelievable.
Stuff happens, man.
Aliens are real.
Raj, what's going on in your gears? I've had enough of this Marcus Sr. topic.
Marcus Morris Sr.
My bad, Brian Scalabrini.
Well, you know what really grinds my gears? I know we talked about it earlier, but this fan voting for the NBA All-Stars, I know the fans should have a voice, and the NBA's really played for the fans and all this garbage and nonsense. But at the end of the day, there is no way some of these players who are good NBA players, who've had great NBA careers, should be All-Stars this year. I don't think they will be, maybe at the end of when all is said and done, when you count the media votes and the players' votes. But the fact that Dwayne Wade is one of the starting backcourts, according to fans, and the likes of Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal are not to be found, and they're lower on the list. They have probably like one-third or one-fourth of the votes that Dwayne Wade has. And in the West, you have players like Derrick Rose, who's having a great year ahead of James Harden and Damian Lillard. And this is what really grinds my gears. How does DeMarcus Cousins how can you even vote for him? Like, that shouldn't be an option. He's played exactly 0 minutes in the NBA this year, and he has almost 100,000 votes.
Hold on. Are we going to say that? Okay, no, I understand. I completely agree. But that means that we have to negate Kobe's last, 4 years of being an All-Star. You want to take Jordan out of the All-Star game in his last year, right? Like, if you're going to knock Dwayne Wade for a legacy vote, that means we're going to knock out a lot of guys in the past.
No, I understand where the legacy vote has been kind of corrupt, but, starting is what really gets me.
Kobe started. Kobe had no business starting. Vince Carter got guilted into letting Jordan start. You know what I mean? Jordan had no business in the game. The coaches obviously let him in because he's Michael Jordan, obviously. And then T-Mac was like, oh, I can give up my spot to MJ. And then Vince Carter got pressured into it because he had less votes than T-Mac.
You know what? They need to change how they do this All-Star voting, because I know they've changed it in the past to include coaches and media. Players and media. But the way this should work is those players maybe deserve a legacy vote. But at the end of the day, they shouldn't be chosen to start. That shouldn't be kind of a criteria. It should be, who do you want to see in the All-Star game? And you vote your 10 votes. And at the end, the players and the media will choose the starting five. And then the rest of the players who are going to be bench players will be picked from the list that the fans want to see.
Can we really count on the players and the media to get it right either, though?
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that. Players dick around a lot, man.
Yeah, the players had Tony Allen as a starter.
Yeah, a bunch of random guys are going to get votes.
But honestly, I'm here for Dwayne Wade making the All-Star game. And I hope with now with the format being two captains, one from each conference, I hope that LeBron gets the first pick and doesn't pick Dwayne Wade. And then the camera pans over to Dwayne Wade, the look on his face is going to be absolutely classic. And it's going to make the entire broadcast worth it with just that one moment.
That will literally never happen. If Dwayne Wade is starting, LeBron is picking him no matter what, unless Steph trolls and takes him.
Or no, I just hope
LeBron it'd be Giannis, pick. Right? Giannis or Kyrie?
Or Kyrie takes Dwayne Wade first just to piss off LeBron.
Yeah, there's no way that LeBron and Dwayne Wade aren't together. I understand, like, the other guys, though. Like, obviously, Derrick Rose has had a really good year, obviously not deserving of an All-Star vote. Like you said, DeMarcus Cousins. But, like, we've seen this in the past before. Zaza Pachulia almost made it as a starter. Yao Ming started his whole career. You know, it happens.
It's just disrespectful because at the end of the day, some people's bonuses depend on this.
Yeah, be more marketable.
What do you mean? How are you going to be more marketable than Jeremy Lin? He has 1 billion fans.
Yeah, and he's not starting.
Well, he's not starting, but, like, how are you going to beat that? Like, even if you're playing at, like, Giannis's level or Harden's level, you're not going to start over Yao Ming.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Despite this whole time, you did not talk any trash about Luka Doncic being second in the West front.
He deserves
deservedly
it.
So. Deservedly so.
Get that man in the All-Star game.
You think he deserves to be second in the West? Get out of here.
Not second, but he could be an All-Star this year.
He's not going to be an All-Star. Relax.
Why not?
No, I think he should be. I think he will be.
Well, they could be in a couple of games. They're only two games behind the 8 seed.
Side bet, they won't.
Yeah.
He won't be.
They're the best home team in the NBA, but also the worst road team in the NBA.
Luka Doncic will not be an All-Star this year. Guaranteed.
I hope he gets voted in.
Yeah, he'll get voted in.
By who? You think the players are going to vote him in?
The coaches.
They love him.
The coaches won't let him in because he's a rookie. Players like him, but they don't love him enough because he's a rookie. The only people who are going to vote for him are fans and media.
Hey. LeBron put him on a list of players that he wants to play with before he retires. So, you got that.
That means players will never want to play with this guy then. You want LeBron to play with this guy? That means no one will want to play with this guy. Come on.
I'm just saying LeBron has pull. It's only matter
to media. To the 25% of media votes. Like, nobody else cares, man.
Oh, the media loves Luka. So maybe that's it.
The media loves LeBron, too. Jesus Christ.
Peter, you're riled up, so I just want to hear what grinds your gears right now.
Yo, mine's so petty. It's almost as petty as Marcus Morris Sr. So yesterday when I was watching the Houston game, you saw a lot of Andre Iguodala covering James Harden, right? It was either Iguodala, you had Thompson, or you had Durant on him. Always those three. Is Iguodala that good of a defender anymore?
Yes.
No, he's not.
We've gone over this the last couple of years. No. He's just resting in the regular season. In the playoffs, he's going to show up like he always does.
He rests during the season, which is fine. I have no problem resting. But when he's on the court, this man is flopping on defense almost as much as Marcus Smart.
No, dude, there were
plays where Harden is just doing his little, like, step back. Iguodala somehow makes contact with him and flops back, like, 3 feet. I had no way to understand this.
Because if he didn't flop...
in the air, pretending like Harden just shoved him, like, 4 feet, yo, he was not touched.
Yeah, but the fact is, if he didn't do that, Harden would flop the other way and, like, pretend he got stabbed by Iguodala and get a foul shot.
It was a normal step back. It wasn't anything crazy. He wasn't driving the lane. There was enough space between them so that the refs would see there's no contact. And Iguodala's jumping backwards instead of contesting the shot. Relax. This is the end of the fourth quarter.
I love how you said a normal step back, not to be confused with the double step back.
No, it was not a travel step back. It was a normal step back. And yet, Iguodala is like jumping back into the air. Like, come on, man, chill out. Play some normal defense. If you're that good of a defensive player, if you're supposed to be one of the best defensive wing players of our time, play some D. That's all I'm saying.
I hate to ruin the vibe, but Andre Iguodala is still a good defensive player, and the Warriors are still winning the championship this year.
They probably will win the championship, but I've just had enough of Iguodala. I actually don't like the guy at all, man. He's a snake.
Nah, I love the dude.
No, he's actually a snitch.
Okay, so what grinds your gears is not his defense, just him in general.
Just him in general. Yeah, he's a snitch, man.
He snitched on Denver years ago, and I'm still salty about it. He wanted Mark Jackson to stay because he prays with him? Get out of here.
You said that?
Yeah, Iguodala was like the one player who didn't want Mark Jackson to get fired because they would have prayer.
No, I meant the praying games. Thing.
Yeah, they would pray before games. He went to church to with him.
Oh, my God.
For a snake? Come on, Iguodala. Get out of here, man. Nobody wants to see you praying. That's what grinds my gears, is Andre Iguodala. Get this guy out of here.
Well, on that note.
Oh, man. You got anything for Stats Corner?
Yes, two things, actually. So in terms of interconference games through December 31st, what percentage do you think the West is beating the East at?
60.
Yeah, I'd say like 60, 70.
Which one? There's a big difference. 70. Right there.
I don't know.
Yeah, Raj is right. It's 59%.
Jesus.
So the West is still obviously a lot better overall, but the top of the East is really good this year.
There's a lot of tanking teams in the East, right? Like you have New York, Cleveland, Atlanta. New York and Cleveland have somehow the worst defenses ever in history. And they're just like fighting for that title. The tankathon is so real.
It is very real this year, especially in the East. West, not so much. He's got the one team in Phoenix.
Yeah, New Orleans should start tanking, man.
Yeah, imagine Zion and Anthony Davis on the same team. That'd be fun.
AD's not going to be there. AD's walking after next year if he's not traded.
Yeah, I could see that.
He shouldn't stay. He doesn't deserve that. It's like KG in Minnesota. He should have left earlier. Except KG was foolish and loyal.
KG never had the talent that Anthony Davis does right now either, but that's a whole other discussion. The second thing that I have is I want to ask you guys if you can name the top 10 three-point shooters by percentage in the NBA as of right now for guys that actually qualify.
Okay.
Can you name, let's say, we'll try to get 5 out of 10. So each of you gets 5 guesses. And go.
Steph?
That's 1.
KD?
No.
Wow. That was unexpected.
Give me a shot here. I know Danny Green is one of the top 10.
In percentage, he is not.
What?
Yo, he went over 6 yesterday, man.
Yeah, that probably brought it down.
Yeah. He was, I think he was, I heard on the broadcast, he was 4th.
That was like the first week of the season, sorry.
Do not slander Danny Green on this podcast.
No, I'll slander as much as I want. Give me Bradley Beal.
Beal is not on the list. Oh, he takes too many threes, I think, to qualify.
Too many.
He's a volume player.
Oh, my God.
It's like putting James Harden on this list. Do not guess James Harden. He's not on the list.
No.
But Steph is somehow there.
Well, Steph is Steph.
Oof. Who else? I can tell you someone who's not on this list. Klay Thompson.
Draymond Green.
I think you have to make a 3 to qualify, don't you?
Yeah, that would help.
Indeed.
I know one.
Go ahead.
Derrick Rose.
Yes.
He's having a career year shooting from 3.
Yeah, he's really come around.
He's at 46%, 4th overall in the NBA, and he takes a bunch, too.
46?
46%.
We talked about him earlier. Gallo? He was hot for a while.
Yep, Gallo's number 5 at 46%. So far, you're 3 for 5.
Oof.
I heard this on the radio the other day. Joe Harris.
No.
You are correct. Yeah. Joe Harris is number 2 in the NBA at 49%.
Wow.
A high amount.
Executives are really high on that guy just because all he does
is good, shoot. Man.
Yeah.
I know Joe Ingles earlier in the year, but I know he's cooled off quite a bit.
Yeah. Who on San Antonio can shoot? Because they have like the best team 3-point percentage. But who can actually shoot on that team?
There's one guy from San Antonio on this list.
Forbes.
No.
Oof.
Wow.
If you don't pronounce his name, it doesn't count.
Oh, what's tall? Oh my God, I know it.
Davis
Bertans.
Yeah. There you go. He's number 3 overall at 48.5. 5%.
Jeez. That's an insane number.
Who's number one?
The other Curry.
No. Seth, eh?
51%, but not on as many tries, obviously.
On how many attempts? Like one, two?
He hits 1.3 a game, so.
Yeah, he's around. He doesn't play that much, though, right?
Like, no, he plays like 20 minutes a game, maybe.
Yeah. How's
one guy that you slandered on this podcast by saying that he comes off the bench and he doesn't?
Oh, Brogdon.
Brogdon's number 8 at 44%, having a career year.
Wow. Former rookie of the year, Malcolm Brogdon.
Making a comeback.
And then we have the new Jose Calderon. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yes. Your
the
boy.
Guy who never turns the ball over.
Monte Morris. Really? Hey. Top 10?
Hey. I knew that guy was a good shooter. Not really.
I right, got most. Is that? Six or seven, I think.
Did you guess it already?
He said Monte Morris.
Oh, I didn't hear him. Okay.
Yeah.
And the other one that, well, there's one that's not so obvious. It's Quinn Cook. He's at number 9. He doesn't really shoot that much, though, obviously.
Oh, my God. That's like less attempts than Seth Curry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But the other guy who's having a career year is Bojan Bogdanovic in Indiana. He's been a flamethrower the entire season, yeah. Shooting 46% from three, hitting two a game.
Wow.
So there's your list.
Bojan Bogdanovic. He was always a good really shooter, good. But to be top 10? Damn.
He's really good.
He used to be a major chucker in Brooklyn. Like, I remember there were games that he would just, like, legitimately no conscience. But I guess
he's toned it down.
Yeah. Oladipo's got in his head.
Indeed.
Damn. Well, good stats corner. Much better than some of your past ones.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you're coming around with these stats. Thanks a lot. All right, anyone else got anything? No more gripes? No more complaints about people's names? All-star voting?
I still can't believe Marcus Morris Sr. did that. And then plus, he also went to the people that make the jerseys and make them put the senior on the jersey. It's not like anyone's going to buy his jersey anyway.
Wow.
But the fact that he had that done.
Yo, for your birthday, man. Marcus Morris Sr. jersey.
I'll burn it.
I'm going to get
I'll just take the senior part off. I'm just going to cut the senior part off.
Just undo the stitching.
Yeah.
Genius. Great play. All right. I think that's all the time we've got for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all the major pod platforms. Obviously on Instagram and Twitter. And until next time, peace. Thank you.